Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. Today's Friday, June 21st. I'm Stephen Overly. For years, children's advocates have compared social media to cigarettes. They argue the algorithms behind apps like Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok are addictive, and that using the apps is unhealthy for teens, exposing them to harmful content about topics like suicide and eating disorders. Federal policymakers increasingly see it that way too, so much so that earlier this week, the U.S. Surgeon General publicly called for social media sites to come with a warning label, again, just like cigarettes. But the real policy fights over children's online safety are actually playing out in the states, and New York is the latest battleground. New York Governor Kathy Hochul signed a law on Thursday that requires parents to give permission before social media sites can recommend content to their kids. It's a law that could fundamentally alter the way social media works. That is, if it ever goes into effect. Politico reporter Rebecca Kern has been tracking the New York law and efforts in other states to mitigate social media's effect on kids. On the show today, she tells me why signing the law doesn't actually make it a done deal. Here's our conversation. Hey, Rebecca, welcome back to Politico Tech.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So this law in New York, what happens now that it's been signed?
So it won't go into effect immediately. We know that it requires the Attorney General, Letitia James, to put forth rulemaking on how companies would be verifying age of users, which has been a really tough and tall task for companies to figure out to date in a privacy protective way. Whenever she finishes that rulemaking, then the law would go into effect 6 months after that. So I don't foresee major changes right away.
Got it. So a longer timeline for this to play out. But once these changes do go into effect, how will the social media experience be different now for teens in New York?
I mean, if this law goes into effect, we are expecting potentially lawsuits. But what it would do is require platforms for users under 18, which would be somehow they'd have to verify that, would not be allowed to have quote unquote addictive algorithms. So they would only be able to see chronological feeds, it seems, which technically is an algorithm, but you know, I guess it's not addictive per se. And that would be what it'd look like. And if kids want to have the typical algorithms where it's recommended content based on your interests, they'd have to get parental consent. So it's kind of masked as another type of parental consent law, but they're calling it, you know, banning algorithms.
You mentioned the complexity of doing age verification for teens. Is that the like biggest challenge here for tech companies to even implement something like this?
Yeah, it's been really elusive because the more data you gather, the more challenging it is to ensure that's privacy protected. And you're asking eventually for more and more from kids. And it also entraps adults because everyone's going to be having to verify their age in some form. Platforms also have been, some like Meta, have been pushing for this to happen at the device level. So, you know, when you sign up or download an app, it would have your information there and your age, and that they want the onus to be on phone providers and not the app makers to verify the age. So shifting that responsibility is something that's been discussed, but that will be kind of determined in the rulemaking. So honestly, the nitty gritty will be in the rulemaking, you know, and this is kind of a feel-good looking appearance of we're going after tech, but the devil's in the details.
Well, you mentioned lawsuits. You know, social media companies have lobbied very heavily against the New York law. What are they saying now that it has been passed and signed?
Well, going up to this, they've been saying it's violative of the First Amendment because it would infringe young users' access to information online when they say you can't access certain feeds, and that algorithms are a form of protected speech. So while they haven't necessarily said they'll file a lawsuit, they have sued, and who I'm talking about specifically is tech trade group NetChoice has sued and successfully blocked, at least in the interim, multiple state laws that are trying in different forms to regulate kids' online safety. So we expect they could file a suit, but it's not been announced yet.
How effective have they been when they filed those lawsuits in other states at either killing laws or watering them down, what have you?
Yeah, they've been quite effective. And the First Amendment is very strong. So we've seen in GOP-led states like Arkansas, Utah, and Ohio, all those had laws wherein the parents would have to give consent for kids to access social media, even downloading it. Utah even had laws about like hours of the day that kids could not be online after midnight or something late at night.
Right.
And so those, they say, are constitutionally violative. And judges so far have agreed in blocking laws. They're being challenged by the states, so they're not fully done. California had a different approach wherein they're going after the design of the app and itself and putting the onus on the app makers to make sure the product is safely designed, an age-appropriate design code. But that also was blocked similarly over constitutional concerns. So that's being appealed in the Ninth Circuit. So there's other laws that are passing that haven't been challenged yet, but I could see them having similar challenges. So it's just a tricky one because I think while even the companies admit that the intent behind these laws is probably for a good reason, you know, they all, none of the tech companies are like, yeah, we want harmful content to kids. We want to hurt them. It's just really a tough needle to thread.
Is there a perception that this will be harmful to their businesses? I mean, they really do depend on the attention of these users, right, to sell advertising, and they need them to keep coming back, essentially.
Yeah, I don't think they'll, like, admit that's the reason, per se, but it would be, you know? Pushing content that's specific to users' interests, which is what algorithms do, is how they make their money. And I think there's no way around that. Like, they will not voluntarily stop their business models. So, you know, while, like I said, New York's law sure sounds like on the front they're banning algorithms, but it's really just parental consent. And if you get that, they could continue doing them. And the rulemaking is really unclear, like what an age verification system would look like. So it's a different approach, but I think it may end in the same challenges.
Earlier this week, the U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy said that social media companies should carry a warning label that says they're actually harmful to kids, like you would see on a carton of cigarettes, right? In order to make that happen, though, he would need Congress to act. What are the chances that the federal government does step in here?
I think the government is trying, but their hands are tied because even in Vivek Murthy's op-ed, he says that I need the Congress to give me this authority, more or less. So I think that's how it happened with tobacco, you know? So I don't foresee Republicans giving Biden a win very easily here.
Right.
And what does a warning label even look like on social media? Are you just going to swipe past it? Like,
All I could think of is like the terms of service that we all like click agree and move
right.
on. You know,
but
like
those are, yeah, really long. And even if you have a short thing, like, you know, people buy cigarettes still, even though there's a warning label on them. And it's, to be fair, not quite the same. I mean, I think the health impacts have been reported on, but a lot of people find it a little more of a correlation than causation, and it's been difficult to prove. As hard as people are trying to prove, there is definitely correlation, but it's just different than an actual drug you're taking in your body. And I think that's going to be a challenge to prove. So sure, it looks, once again, it looks like the White House is doing something by coming out and saying this. But if you read closely, like, they don't have the authority right now. And I mean, Biden's talked about it in his past three State of the Unions.
Right.
But I think ultimately we're going to have to look to Congress, and I'm not foreseeing much action. You know, like they're going to go in recess soon.
The Kids Online Safety Act is a bill you followed quite closely. I mean, is that at all close to passage in both the Senate and the House?
I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, I think advocates think it's close. And if you just look at the numbers, they're over 60. You know, they're close to 70 co-sponsors, and you could go past the filibuster that way. But it has a hold from Ron Wyden, and it's over concerns over free speech. And I don't think that's going to be resolved immediately. And I think it could be challenged in the courts again, because it's kind of similar to California's law, the age appropriate design code. They say it's different, which, okay, I mean, we'll see, but I think it's going to be challenging. So, and then the House has not gone as far. And in fact, the lead Democrat, Frank Pallone, has raised a lot of the concerns some of the tech companies have raised. And he, honestly, his question as to whether tech companies can determine mental health impacts of their apps, if they're the correct ones to determine that, I think is a fair question to ask, because these are not mental health experts running these platforms, you know? So for them to be under COSA determining what is harmful to mental health, like, are they the right ones to decide that? That is a question he's asking, and it's kind of a fair one.
Right. When I step back and look at this, I mean, with a rising number of states passing these laws, you have the Biden administration at least trying to apply kind of pressure of its own on these companies. What is the prognosis for the tech industry here? Is like the writing on the wall when it comes to some sort of kids' safety regulation?
I mean, there is writing on the wall and these are written, but I don't foresee them being necessarily upheld. And I, maybe I'm a doomsayer here. I've just seen them blocked in so many states. And what I do think for advocates is a kind of silver lining is lawsuits that are being brought against the companies directly, like Meta for their addictive feeds and harmful impacts to kids, using consumer protection laws, which can get around some of these First Amendment concerns potentially, because those suits, over 33 states have sued Meta over this and violating Kids Online Privacy Protection Act, COPPA. So I think that could be a way forward. They're also looking into similar lawsuits against TikTok. FTC has filed a lawsuit. I mean, they're investigating TikTok over COPPA violations. So while some of these state laws might be challenged, I do think some federal efforts in the courts could move forward. They're just going to be slow. So I think it's just going to be a matter of time. And the platforms are changing. It's not a great business model to have content that's harmful to kids.
Right.
So I will say they say they're investing, and they are. And Europe is going after them successfully. So we're talking about the US, but Europe is really going hard in finding these companies under the Digital Services Act. So they are changing their products over there. They're not having to change them here because they're not enforceable, but you can see they're capable of doing so.
Right. And we've seen it before where companies have adopted European regulations just kind of across the board, or at least implemented some of those policies globally. And I guess we'll see if that happens here. Well, listen, Rebecca, appreciate you joining us on Politico Tech.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overly. See you back here on Monday.